In today's world, we often think that peace is only won through conflict or strength. The amazing truth that we as Christians know is that peace comes from God Himself through Jesus Christ. Pastor Patrick challenges us today to seek the peace that only God can give.
Well, I'm excited to share God's Word with you today. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. If you want to go ahead and turn there, that would be great. But again, we're carrying on the message this month of December about Advent. You know, I went to church growing up my whole life, and I never really heard about Advent. I was in a part of churches that believed in God, that were spirit-filled churches. There we go. Churches, the people that love God, but I never heard about Advent. And I was talking to some of the teens the other day about it, and they hadn't really heard it either. So I'm honored to be able to share Advent with you all today. But Advent is simply a centuries-old celebration of the coming promise of God in the birth of Jesus Christ. That's what Advent is, and that's what Advent is about. It's about four Sundays coming up, leading up to Christmas, for us to be able to prepare our hearts, to prepare our minds and our souls for what God has for us as we wait for Christmas. That's what Advent is, and that's what Advent is about. And it should be a special time for us as we wait. Now, I'm going to say that word a lot today, wait, because that's something I think that America struggles with more than anything, is we don't like to wait. We are impatient. We want things a certain way. We want to go and do what we want to do. But Advent is about waiting. It's about waiting. It's about trusting and believing. And when we do that, we're able to arrive at Christmas with a completely different heart, a completely different mindset than if we didn't. It's a time for us to be able to rest and reflect on the coming of Christ. Advent, that's what it's about. But, you know, for us to wait can be difficult sometimes, right? Because, you know, we look forward to the holidays. We get to Thanksgiving, and as soon as Thanksgiving is over, what happens? We hit the ground running with Christmas. We go Black Friday shopping. We go and we spend all kinds of money. We decorate the house. We send out Christmas cards to everyone. We buy our family gifts because we feel obligated. We buy all kinds of stuff off Amazon. Hope we can pay for it, you know. And we have created within us a season to where we feel completely defeated and deflated by the time we arrive at Christmas. And that is not obviously what Christmas is about. And so Advent reminds us and prepares our hearts that when we are arriving up to Christmas, that we keep the true meaning of what it's about. We keep the true meaning of what it is about. And this week of Advent is no different. And we find ourselves with the peace. This candle, the second one, represents peace. The peace that only Jesus can bring. The peace only Jesus can give. And so the word Advent translated means coming. It means coming. It means that Christ is coming. Christ is coming. And so God made a promise to his people that he would send a Redeemer, that he would send a Savior. And what a glorious truth that is. And so we're going to be able to read that word today. And so if we look in the Old Testament scripture of Isaiah, we will see that God promised to bring his people out of exile. I have the scripture for you on the screen if you don't have your Bibles with you, but it's Isaiah 40, verse 3 through 5. Let's stand today as we read God's Word. Isaiah 40, verse 3 through 5. Let's read it. A voice cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain." Listen. "Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see together." Listen to this. "For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Wow. Powerful words from God. Thank you. You may be seated. So again, here we see Isaiah. He is speaking on behalf of the Lord, and he's crying out into the desert places, and he's telling the people, the Israelites, that the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. You need to get ready. You've been in exile. You've been doing all these things wrong, but God is coming, and you need to get ready. And it goes on to say even more that he's going to make a road that is peaceful to travel as we leave. going to make a road that is peaceful. Every obstacle will be removed. Whatever was wrong with the Lord, was wrong with the road, will be removed. Now, a lot of times we skip over these details in God's Word when we hear the words like every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain shall be made low. When God says that He's going to prepare the way of the road, He didn't just move a few rocks. We got to understand this. He didn't just sweep the road off. It said that the valleys, you know, when they had to travel back then, the valleys were way low. He said He lifted them up. You hear me? When the mountains, when they had to go over the top of them or way around them, He cut a path right through. He cut a path right through. So he says that he has made a way for them to travel in peace. And so this reminds us of how magnificent our God is. That He can do anything. Again, I feel like a lot of times we overlook those details of the Scripture, and we sometimes forget of how powerful our God is. But the Lord is revealing Himself to them, and He wants to show them that He is perfect peace, that all you have to do is follow Him. Amen? All you have to do is follow Him. So what we have here is the Lord has given a prophecy to Isaiah. And you got to remember that Isaiah lived 700 years before Christ was born. And so he's given this prophecy and he's sharing this prophecy. And Isaiah hears from the Lord and he goes to warn these people. He goes to warn these people that if you continue to put your faith and trust in all these secular gods, all these secular things, then God's judgment is coming upon you. God's judgment is coming upon you. And that's something, folks, that we can apply to our life. There's things in our life that we might elevate and put above God. I'm not here to scare us today, but it was said then and it still applies to us today. But these people were complacent. They were arrogant. They were believing in secular gods. But the beauty of these verses is that it shows that there is no obstacle that can prevent God's grace and God's forgiveness to deliver His people. That even in the midst of how just much they turned their back on God, God was still coming after them. God was still coming to deliver His people because He loved them. Not only did He come and deliver them, but He made a road that was just as smooth. Again, He made the valleys lift up. He had to cut through the mountains. He made a road that anybody could travel. He did it because He loved them. And then we look in the book of John in the New Testament. If you have your Bible, you can turn over there. It'll be on the screen here in just a moment. We turn to the New Testament and we really see the Scriptures come alive. It's almost like the Old Testament was a physical side of things and the New Testament is like the spiritual side of things. And it's just magnificent of the words we're going to be able to read here in a moment. But John the Baptist is almost like the bridge between the Old Testament in the New Testament and what we're going to be reading about today. And so Isaiah's prophecy was finally coming to fruition. That what he had been prophesizing was finally coming to a head. And you know, John is very clear in the verses we're going to read here in a moment that he wants people to know and to realize that I am not the Messiah. I am not the King. I am not the Savior. I am simply coming to tell you about Him. I'm simply coming to tell you about Him and to warn you. To warn you that God's judgment is coming. And so we have to understand this, that John's testimony is not based upon what he knows about Jesus, it's based upon what God told him about Jesus. And so therefore, when we hear those words, we know out of assurance that it is a true word of God. And that last verse we read there, it said, out of the mouth of the Lord spoken. It's almost like in the New Testament, we hear Jesus say a lot all through the Scripture was very truly I say to you. I tell this to the teens a lot. When you hear those words, what happens? If I stood right here and I said, very truly I say to you, your ears are going to perk up. You're going to be listening. If you haven't been listening to me before, you're really going to listen to the next thing I say. If the President of the United States, like him or not, if he comes on air and he says, what I'm about to say you want to listen to, what's going to happen to our mind? We're going to be like, turn that down. Got to hear what's going on. We're going to be fully focused on what they're about to say. And so It's the true word of God, and we must see it and believe it. So John chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. If you don't have your word with you, it's on the screen behind me. Listen to these words. John chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, listen, it's a correlation of the Old Testament we just read. He said, "I am the voice of the one calling out in the wilderness." Remember that in Isaiah? "Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." And so here we have John the Baptist, and he is crying out into the wilderness. And he's preparing the way of the Lord. And he's telling people that the Messiah is coming, that the Lord is coming. And this is his first witness in these verses. And he's trying to explain to them as best as he knows how that, hey, look, I'm not the Messiah. He said it clearly that I am not the Messiah, but the one who is coming, the one who I've been talking about, the one who I am baptizing his name, he is coming, and he is so magnificent, and he is so powerful, and he is just so unbelievable that you need to get ready because he's coming. Because he's coming. Let's keep reading. Verse 24. Listen to his words. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered him, "I baptize with water." Listen, among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong on his sandal. And so again, we have these people. John is coming, he's baptizing. And people are asking him, "So, are you the Messiah?" And he says, "No, I'm not the Messiah." "Well, why are you baptizing?" "Well, I'm baptizing because of the one who is coming." And they're like, "Are you the Savior?" And he's like, "I'm not the Savior." And so I can imagine if I was John, I would get a little frustrated in this moment. That like, stop asking me what I'm doing. Stop asking me if I'm the Messiah. Because I'm not the Messiah. It's not about me. It's about the one who is coming. You need to listen because he's coming. And so John's answer of why he is baptizing these people has nothing really to say with baptism at all. He's trying to explain to them that there's one within your midst. Listen to me, church. There's one within your midst that is so magnificent and so powerful and so superior and so above me that I'm not even worthy to untie his shoe. That's the one who is coming. That's the one who is coming. So stop asking me questions. It's not about me. It's about the one who I am unworthy to untie his shoe. Verse 29 and 30. Powerful words. Listen. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." If you didn't catch it, let me read it again. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb." In other words, the one that I've been telling you about, here he comes. Here's the Lamb of God. This is the one I've been telling you about, the one that's so great and magnificent. He's here. He's here right now. And he has come to take away the sin of all the world. And so John does a great job here explaining the magnificence of God. And he does this to show that Jesus is absolutely before him, that Jesus is absolutely above him, that Jesus is so much more powerful than he is. John does a great job describing this and the humbleness that comes along with that. His rank is above me. And he says all these things to underline the capacity and the powerfulness that the Lamb of God is here. And the only person, the only being that can take away the sin of the world is a Lamb of God. He's a Lamb of God. God is the only one who can take away the sin of the world. There's no human on earth that can be the Lamb of God. There's no human on earth that can take away the sin of the world. You and I, have sin, we can't take away the sin of another sinner. It takes a God. It takes the Lamb of God, and He's here. And He's here. And so John is warning the people, as this applies to us today, John is warning the people that there's no one that lives on earth, that will ever live on earth, that can take away all the sin of the world. It takes a God. It takes the true Lamb of God. And this Lamb of God that I've been telling you about, that I've been sharing you about, that I've been preaching you about, He is a suitable Lamb of God. He has all the characteristics of a Lamb of God. The great thing about having a Lamb of God in our life is that when we allow God to take the sin of our out of our lives, guess what we're left with? Perfect peace. Perfect peace. But even as Isaiah said, we have to wait. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to prepare our minds and our hearts for the coming Lord, from the coming Messiah. But like I said earlier, let's be honest. We don't like to wait. We do not like to wait. We desire to have things a certain way, and we want them now. Ever since I've gotten married and had a wife, and excuse me, had a baby, I've been doing a lot of waiting. And just as soon as we get ready to go out the door, without a doubt, one of my wife's sisters would give them a call, Betsy, and I just sit on back down. I'm going to wait. I love Betsy. I'm just picking at her. But sometimes it's hard. She's going to get on to me afterward. I can go and hear it now. But sometimes it's hard for us to wait. It's hard for us to wait. But Isaiah was encouraging us that we have to wait for the Lord. You know, I don't know if we've ever realized it before, but all of us are always in a season of waiting. Every one of us. We're always waiting for a job. We're waiting for our marriage to be restored. We're waiting for a husband or a wife. We're waiting for that raise at work that's just going to change everything. We're waiting for a baby. Maybe some of us are waiting for someone else to pick up the towel so we don't have to. You know? We're always in a season of waiting. And oftentimes while we wait on God, we get impatient. We get very impatient. And we end up doing things that hurt us. And we do things that we have convinced ourselves that we know the best way, better than God. But we're always in a season of waiting. But I want to encourage us today that God has never left us. In our times of life when we feel like that life just could not be any worse, we feel like that no one cares, that no one loves us, that God's not answering my prayers right now the way I desire for them to be answered, you're not alone. We're not alone. Because Advent teaches us that waiting is the means that God uses to carry out His plans for our life. God uses these things in our life to show us that He is all true, that He is all powerful. And it brings us, it brings us to the truth that our waiting is never wasted when we're waiting on God. It's never wasted when we're waiting on God. I remember many years ago, my great-grandfather, who I love very much, he taught me a lot. He taught me how to garden. He taught me how to build. He taught me how to give. Just a man that I really looked up to. I went to church with him a lot. He was in the hospital, and he was looking back now, he was dying, and I wasn't able to be at the hospital. And I just remember in that time when I was in the room alone, I was just weeping and crying, and I'm like, Lord, this is my great-granddaddy. I love him. I need him. You know, no one's around me. I'm in this place alone. And I don't feel worthy. I don't feel love. Lord, I need my grandfather. And he passing on, and years later, I remember looking back and how I thought I was all alone, how God was right there in the midst with me. Right in the midst with me. When I thought I was all alone, God was there. And maybe you've been there before in your life when you've lost a loved one and you've been in some situation where it is just horrendous and you feel like that no one is there, no one loves you, and no one cares. Listen to me today. God is there and God loves you. These people who are in exile, They were there many years. No telling how they must have felt. But God gives Isaiah a prophecy. It's like, go and tell my people that I'm coming. Go and tell them that I'm coming. Go and tell them that I'm coming. But you know, even when I was in that room crying out to God, Lord, I need my grandfather. Lord, I need him. He's taught me so much. I love him dearly. I need him. You know, we tell ourselves, I need this. I got to have him. He can't go yet. Even in our silence, when it seems like God isn't listening, that God doesn't care, he is working beneath the surface, orchestrating everything to fit our life perfectly. To fit our life perfectly. I tell the teens all the time that we need to pray in a way for God's will to be done, because God knows what we need better than we know what we need. That's hard for us to accept because we feel like we know best. But God had never left me. God was he's never left you. He never left the ones in exile. God is always coming after us. He's always pursuing us. And just like he was coming after the Israelites, that's why he told Isaiah to go tell them. He said, I am coming to rescue my people. Why? To bring them perfect peace. To bring them perfect peace. It's a peace that only the true Lamb of God can deliver and can share. But we try to fill our lives with all other kind of things that we think that will bring us peace. And then we're left in the dirt feeling empty. And then we do it again and over again. But what will it take for us to come to a point in our life to where we humble ourselves like John was and say, I need that peace. A peace that only a true Lamb of God can deliver. Let's fast forward 700 years to the birth of Jesus. I want you to imagine with me for a moment. The Son of God is stepping down out of heaven, and he's stepping into an imperfect, sinful world. And I can imagine that the angels are there, and they're looking up to God, and they're singing songs of praise. They're singing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. They're singing this. I mean, talk about a birth announcement. I mean, unbelievable. Can you imagine me for a moment being there and the magnificence of what's going on? And so Jesus was stepping down into this place, sinful place. But you see, there's a huge distance between the highest heaven and earth. Huge distance. But the glory of that night is that Jesus bridged that distance that night. He connected it. He brought it together. And so Jesus was literally stepping down out of heaven to be born as a baby. And I love it because the scripture says that he became fully man and fully God. And just like John the Baptist was the bridge from Isaiah in the Old Testament to the New Testament that we're reading here today, Jesus was a perfect mediator to the bridge to connect the divide between heaven and earth that night. He was a perfect bridge. He was a perfect connection. And so we know the story. Ever since that moment of what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve, there had been no perfect peace between God and all of humanity. Until that night. I don't know about you folks, but it moves me to be reminded of what our God has done for us. And as the story goes, we know it. He stepped out of heaven. He came into this earth, was born in a manger, raised by a carpenter, baptized by John. He healed the sick. We know it. He touched the lamb. He ate with sinners. He parted the Red Seas. He made the blind to see. He spoke light into the darkness. Come on, church. He spoke light into the darkness. And then it comes to this. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was nailed on a cross because of our sin. And so I want us to understand today, from the very moment when Jesus stepped out of heaven and all the things that happened that he did, that he touched, that he healed, that he proclaimed, that he preached into the moment that he was ascended back into heaven. He did all of that for one reason. Listen to me, church. He did it for one reason: to bring you perfect peace. He did it all to bring you and I perfect peace. And on this Advent Sunday of peace, God desires to fill your heart and your life with a peace that can only come from the Lamb of God. And so I want to encourage us today. It's going to be hard for us. You ready? I want to encourage us today that do not let Christmas be a burden to you. My brother's wife messaged me the other day. She's like, "Hey, what do you and Amy want for Christmas?" I'm like, "Nothing. You know, don't get us anything. We're fine." She's like, "Okay, great. Y'all don't get us anything either." And I could tell it was just like she feels like we feel like we're obligated to get somebody a gift, because if not, they're going to be mad at us. And we run around like a chicken with our heads cut off trying to get this and to get that. And we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, and after Christmas is over with, it's February and March, and we're still paying for Christmas. God has not called us to go into debt in his name. Come on, church. God has not called us to do that. God has not called us to do that. Now, if you want to give me a gift, it's okay. Throw that out here. But God desires for this time, this Advent time of leading up to Christmas, to be a time where we slow down, a time where we wait, and it's a time where we remind ourselves of the birth of Jesus. Because listen to me, while we wait, God is working beneath the surface, and he's orchestrating things to fit our life. It's a peace that only Jesus can bring. And the fact that we celebrate Christmas tells us that God's plan and God's purpose for our lives will prevail. That's why we celebrate Christmas. But in order for us to be able to do this, listen to me, church, we need him. We need a suitable Lamb of God. We need someone who can fill in the gap from heaven and hell, and his name was Jesus, and Jesus came to bring us hope, peace, joy, and love. And so I want us to search our hearts today, search our minds, search our souls, that if you're here today and you are struggling with having perfect peace, and you're allowing the things of this world to try and fill that void, let me tell you today, church, there's nothing that's going to fill that void except Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. And so today, let's slow down. Let Christmas be what it was intended to be. Let it be what it is intended to be. As we see these candles lit, peace, let's be reminded of why Jesus stepped down out of heaven. And went through all the life that he spent, 33 and a half years of why he was here on earth. Let's not forget about what he did up until he literally stretched out his arms and died for us. And like I said a minute ago, he did all of that to bring you perfect peace. So don't let the Word of God go without void. Allow the Spirit of God to come inside of you, to dwell in you, and to move you, and to change you. Because listen to me, church. When we're able to receive something so great and so magnificent as John was trying to describe, he was doing his best to describe how great and magnificent the one who is in our midst. Once something so great and so powerful enters our little bodies, my goodness of what could happen in this world. My prayer for the youth ministry, I tell them all the time, is that when you go out into the world, when you go out into your schools, when you go out into your groups and homes and different things, that when people look at you, they will see that God is alive, that God is faithful, that God is real, and they will desire to have that same God in their hearts. But it comes with peace. A peace I can't even describe to you. But it's a peace that you don't want to miss out on.
So we find ourselves in this day of expectation, of preparation, of peace in the Advent season. On the other side of that fulfilled promise that was brought to us through the prophet Isaiah, the Messiah has come, he has brought peace with God, and he will come again and bring perfect peace to the earth. We look forward to that. Thank you for being with us today. God bless you.